Third hour of the show coming to you from Los Angeles. Doug is in San Francisco in a couple of moments. We'll talk with Stu Lance, the TV voice of the Lakers, the TV analyst, I should say. We've got a lot to go over, and we've got some phone calls to get to. So before Stu comes on, Doug, why don't we get to Adrian, and then we'll start this third hour. Adrian, what's going on?
Hey, man. First of all, I just want to say that I'm glad that you and Jerry are getting recognized as some of the best in the business, because I truly think you guys are, for sure.
Thank you.
And with that being said, I'm sitting there on a Saturday, and I'm flipping through the channels, and I see the 2K All-Star Tournament. I'm like, okay, let me check this out. And then who do I hear? My man, Grant Napier. My man is a rock star. Okay, so I'm just asking, how was that experience?
And you know what? I'll tell you, it was phenomenal. It was my first experience with, e-sports and e-gaming in terms of, electronic gaming and on the internet and everything else. And, NBA 2K, which is awesome, it's going to become the first they're going to have a league next year with general managers, coaches, players. They're going to have a draft affiliated with the NBA. So it's awesome. I got to tell you, it was phenomenal. I had a phenomenal time doing that over All-Star Weekend in New Orleans. So I'm glad you had a chance to check it out. Joining us right now is the longtime television analyst of the L.A. Lakers, and that is Stu Lance. Stu, it's good to talk to you. Doug Christie, by the way, is also on with me. He's coming from San Francisco. And what year ring is that? I know it's not the one that, you don't wear that one ring around me, and I appreciate that. What year is that?
This is 2010.
2010, all right. See, Doug, we got a deal here, Stu. Every time Stu, knows he's coming on with me and playing the Kings, out of respect, there's a certain ring he doesn't take out of the box to wear to that night's game.
Well, Grant, Stu is one of the most honorable people that I know, so I truly appreciate it, because I would have felt the heat through the damn microphone, Stu.
Doug, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic, sir.
Good. Good to hear you.
Boy, I'll tell you, I was just talking with the Kings coaches about who's playing, who's not. But Doug and I have been talking about this. Give me 8 to 10 guys that are playing for their lives, that, are playing for contracts and are playing. And you know what? They might be better than playing veterans who are looking to pack their bags and go on vacation on Wednesday night. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's amazing what the threat of employment will do. Also, it's also related to competition. That's why it's always good to have players on your team that are pushing a player in front of them, because that's always good for the team and it's good for that player to improve. But if he thinks he's in a position where he's there and nothing's going to happen to him, he gets complacent.
Stu, we've been batting this around for some time since this dreaded four-letter word of rest has come up. Do you have a solution? Because you've been around this game for quite some time. Maybe you could sprinkle some knowledge on
it. I wish I had some solutions. I've talked to some people, don't name any names in the front office of the NBA, and I tell them, there's some things you can do. If you're agreeing with the rest thing, then you're also admitting that there's too many games. Okay, if you're admitting there's too many games, then cut some games out of the season. Well, that's not going to happen, because that drops to the bottom line, and owners aren't going to absorb the loss of income. The players aren't going to absorb that loss, so that's out. If you're going to rest players, then I said rest them at home games.
Absolutely.
Only at home games.
Absolutely.
Where you have the fans who pay the freight have 41 opportunities to see a player.
Amen.
But when you rest them on the road, especially with Eastern and Western Conference games, that is truly, truly not fair.
Well, I think I've been so critical of what Tyronn Lue did twice this year. Once at Memphis, where he didn't even take the guys on the airplane to go into Memphis. All right, that's number one. And here just a few weeks ago on a Saturday night nationally televised game against the Clippers, and he doesn't play his big three either. That's a joke. That you cannot allow that. All right, that's wrong. If you want to rest your guys, I'm with you. Give them a night off at home.
Yeah, they got 41 days for the fans to, make a choice of when I can come back and maybe get a chance to see a certain player or so. And then the third option would be, I tell the players, you can rest any time you want. But every time you rest, I'm taking a paycheck.
Uh-oh.
All right, tell
so
me.
Rest days would be 1/82nd of
your
pay.
The problem with that, the players are not the ones that are making the decision to rest.
Well, I think in some cases there it's become a situation where if you're the star of your team and you get rested, I'm the star of my team, and I say, hey, my ego, I know my ego is as big as yours. Well, if you can rest, how come I can't get a day of rest? So I start planting that seed.
That's
I start planting
point.
That seed in the coach's ear. And before right. you know it, I got a rest day.
All right, tell me about Brandon Ingram, because he's just wrapping up his first year.
If there's one player, and if there's one player in the Lakers that you have really got to say has their growth chart as far as their game on the court, is it's Brandon Ingram. He has grown so much in the season from day one till now. I mean, his abilities are always there, but the way he has a certain understanding of the game. He knows the game instinctively. And there are a lot of players that have a lot of talent, but they just don't understand the game. Gus, they work. You see them work so hard just to get a shot. They dribble, 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 have to do all these things just to get a shot. They don't really understand the little nuances. For a kid that's 19 years old, Brandon Ingram understands the game.
Stu, when you look at the Lakers, looking at probably one of the top three picks, what do you think the biggest need is for the Lakers going into the future?
Wow, they've got so many holes. I think they you would be really nice if they had what I call an uh-oh guy on their team.
Uh-huh.
And what my definition of an uh-oh guy is you get him an open look, and the first thing out of the opposition's coach's mouth is, uh-oh.
Yeah.
You know, and they need just a knockdown shooter. Somebody, because the game is just taking itself to the perimeter.
Absolutely.
That's where it is now. It is a perimeter game. So if it's a perimeter game, then you have to get in line with that and get yourself a perimeter shooter, whether it's a backcourt guy
yep.
or a forward. Doesn't really matter. But you need somebody that just can flat shoot the basketball.
That's why we're excited about Buddy Hield, you know, in his rookie year, because this guy, the one thing he does do, he can shoot the three. He shoots the ball so well. Now, you know, again, can I tell you that 2 years from now we're going to be talking about him being in the same category as, you know, one of the great three-point shooters in the game now, like a Kyle Korver or whatever? No, I'm not ready to go there yet. But right now, and Doug and I talk about this all the time, and you just hit on it, the game's different than it was. And if you don't have perimeter shooters, you can't win in this day and age, Stu.
It's really difficult just because of that's what you just said, because the game – has to be, it's guard-driven, and guard-driven means generally perimeter game. And, you know, I've asked some guys in the coaching staffs about, you know, the old standbys. Doug, and you remember the days when mm-hmm. in practice you ran 3-on-2, 2-on-1 continuous drills.
Yep.
You can't run and teach that anymore, because 3-on-2, 2-on-1 was designed to get layups. Well, now the fast break, I don't care if it's 3-on-0, they're almost stopping at the three-point line and taking threes. How then do you now tell that guy, that's a bad shot? You know, before you could teach a little bit, now you can't. You have to just roll with the punches.
What would have happened if Shaquille O'Neal came into the NBA right now as a rookie? No, seriously.
Well, whatever team he was on would be go right back to that post game. I don't care who or where he was, they'd go back to the post game, because number one,
right.
Shaq would tell his guards, look, get me the ball. I'll
right.
kick it out to you, but get me the ball. They don't have that anymore. You know, I spent 26 years coaching at the Pete Newell Big Man Camp, and that's all we did was teach footwork and the post, the mid post, and on the wings and things like that. Today, I mean, it's just something it's a dinosaur now. I mean, nobody, if you look at the bigs of today, there's exceptions to the rule. But by and large, none of the bigs, except those exceptions, have any kind of footwork in the post area, because they've all drifted out to the three-point line, whether it's in high school or that 1 year of college. They're all out there around that three-point line.
You know, Stu, Genie and Magic seem to be changing the culture in the front office. Luke is changing the culture on the court. What is the synergy between all of that, and how is it going?
Well, I think it's going okay. Again, you know, sometimes you cannot measure results by W's. And at the beginning of the year, you know, I was talking to some of them, and I said, you know, you want to see improvement. And the improvement may not show up in W's and L's. It mm-hmm. shows up in individual growth of players.
Amen.
That over the course of a season or more drops to the bottom line, which makes you a better basketball team. But you can't always relate that to W's and L's.
Doug, how often have you and I been saying that? You hit that right on the head.
We've tried to explain that, Stu, to our listeners and callers and Sacramento Kings fans. You are spot on. Some of the things you don't see.
Yeah, but the thing about most people, and fans are obviously number one in this category, they're impatient. You know,
sure they
don't. They don't want to.
They don't care about 2 or 3 years
the process.
From now. That's right.
You know, we're as a culture, we're just impatient regardless. That's why we have microwave ovens, fast food restaurants. We don't want to wait for nothing.
That's
so
right.
So you're telling them now you got to wait 2-3 years for this team to be where we think it can be.
Uh-huh.
They don't want to wait.
Grant, yeah, that's the difference between instant grits and slow-cooked grits, Grant.
Oh, don't even get me started, Christy. What's wrong with you? Well, you know, I mean, that's what we're going in Sacramento. You know, the Kings decided that they made the huge decision to go in a different direction with DeMarcus Cousins. And the domino effect of that is we have seen players such as Willie Cauley-Stein look like, wow, okay, and then we're starting to see other players that were Yorgos Papayannis, particularly Scal, get playing time that he wasn't going to get, and he now looks like, wow, okay, the Kings look like they got themselves a pretty good player. So, you know, I think the word here or the term is big picture. I think, and again, this is not a slight, I don't like waiting. You got to look at the big picture and see what it looks like.
Yeah, that's exactly the case. But again, fans sometimes, like when they go to the games, they referee the games in their seats, but they referee with their hearts,
yep,
not with their head. You know, yep, every call goes against their guy. It's a bad call, and you've got to be realistic about it. So the big picture is you have to be realistic about how quick this can get to the yep point where you want it to be. And it's not, there's no instant fixes.
Hey, where would you put D'Angelo Russell's development after watching him in his sophomore season?
I'd say he's right. At this point, I think he's flatlined. I mean, and that's what I was talking about with growth of individual players. When you look at the chart, you want to see a gradual incline on that growth chart. One thing you don't want to see is a decline, obviously. And another thing, you don't want to see flatlining. But to a large degree, I would say he's flatlined. He's doing pretty much the exact same things this year as he did last year and the year before.
Can I need a Chick Hearn story for you, man. I know you probably think about him often. You got something for me?
Oh, boy. There's so many Chicky stories, most of which can't be relayed. But I tell you something. I would love to hear him when he's calling the games right now, because if there was ever a guy that would tell it like it is, it was Chicky. He would really be on a lot of the Lakers the last few years about their play, about maybe some of the efforts and things. Because, like I said, I remember we were at the Forum and they were honoring him for one of his 3,000th consecutive game. I don't know,
right,
I mean,
whatever.
But
yep, all,
one of those kind yep of honors. And he went down at halftime, and the first half the Lakers had played poorly,
uh-huh,
very poorly. So he accepts his congratulations on all of his accomplishments over the years, and his last comments were, well, I hope in the second half the team plays better than the dogs they played in the first half. I mean, I was like, whoa, only Chicky could get away with that one, boy.
Could you imagine him with all the players resting now and all of that?
Oh, my goodness, that wouldn't work.
No,
that
I know.
Work.
I'll tell you a story, and I'll never forget this. It was my first game ever at the Great Western Forum, and it was my first year of doing the Kings in 1988. And I walked in, and you know where the press box was up top where we broadcast from, as you well know, Stu. And Chick saw me and actually walks over, shakes my hand. I say, hey, I'm Grant Napier. I'm the new TV announcer for the Sacramento Kings. And he said, hey, it's great to have you here. And if there's anything you need at all, do not hesitate to ask. I mean, the guy made me feel like I had been in the league for 30 years. He made me feel welcome and special, and he had that ability with people.
That was some of the key to his popularity to a degree. Regardless of the fact that he was the best play-by-play announcer that I've ever been around, ever seen, he would make people off the street that he'd meet for the first time, he would make them think that they had been friends for 15 years.
Absolutely.
I mean, he was so good with people.
Oh.
It was just remarkable the impact he could have.
I mean, and again, this has nothing to do with me, but I'm going to embellish that. I used to have Chick, you know, on my show quite often when the Kings and the Lakers were good and the rivalry. And I'll never forget, the last time I had Chick on my show was in Sacramento. We were sitting courtside. And I said, hey, Chick, thank you very much. It was great spending some time with you. And he goes, I just want to say something. He said, I just want Sacramento to realize how lucky they are to have you as their announcer.
Wow.
And I'm sitting here going, and again, you know, I know he, but I'm listening to Chick saying that, and I'm just like, well, Chick Hearn just, you know what I mean? But he probably did that with everyone that he went to in every city, because everyone wanted to talk with Chick, and I'm sure he made everybody feel that way. And you know what? That is an unbelievably special trait, to have a living legend, one of the iconic announcers, forget about basketball, one of our iconic announcers that we have ever had in this country, making people feel like that. That's a gift right there.
That truly is. That truly is a gift. And I used to call him and his lovely wife, Morris, the golden couple. They were special people, and I'm sure they're having a good time together and watching and hoping that the Lakers and basketball continues to have the success that it's had throughout the years.
You know, it's amazing, Doug. Uh-huh. Doug, real quickly, it's amazing to think that last year we saw, you know, Vin Scully retire. Yep. And here in L.A., the great, great announcer, 44 years of the Los Angeles Kings, Bob Miller, in his final year. And I was here 2 weeks ago for the LA Kings New York Rangers game and had a chance to talk to Bob. Now think about this market, okay? Think about the longevity. It's right,
yeah.
Stu, and this is my 29th year, and I'm thinking, wow. You know, Vince Scully, 60-plus. I mean, you know, like, I'm a rookie. You know what I'm saying?
Years.
Like, I'm a rookie. You know, like, I'm just starting out my career. And I'm thinking about Bob Miller, 44 years of doing the L.A.
Wow,
Kings. And,
man.
I mean, that's just mind-boggling, isn't it?
The fans here in Los Angeles have been truly spoiled. If you are a born and bred Los Angeles fan, person that, you know, born and if you're a sports person and you've been listening to all the sports or whatever, you're truly spoiled because you've had the best in all three sports. When you say Chick Hearn, Vin Scully, and Bob Miller,
Come on. That
says it all.
Oh, man. Grant, that's where I got that. Everyone's dressed up like seats. He said there's 18,000 here tonight. A lot of them are dressed up like seats. One of my favorite lines, man.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Doug, seriously, when you came down from Washington and went to Pepperdine.
Yeah.
You know,
my goodness.
If you weren't hanging on the beach all day, you know, and this was before the, you know, being in a market that had a Chick Hearn announcing Laker basketball, and listen, I don't mean to be rude. I got to include Ralph Lawler in that group because he's been the only announcer for the L.A. Clippers. So I hate to admit him because he needs to be in that group. That's just mind-boggling. But, Doug, I mean, when you come to college here, even as a, you know, an 18-year-old, you probably have to have – it probably doesn't take long before you realize what's going on with the announcers in this city.
Well, I tell you, he had so many incredible lines that it would blow your mind. And just – but – like Stu said, the problem is everyone's spoiled. This is what you come accustomed to. This is what you're used to. This is what you hear on a night-to-night basis. You're in the car, you turn on the radio, you got Vince Scully. The Lakers are playing. It would blow your mind. But now that I'm on this side, I just revel the fact that an incredible man. There's a video online, Stu, of me getting interviewed by Chick, and I relish it. I watch it quite often as a rookie, and he was always just so gracious, man. I had to ask you about him.
Well, I appreciate you bringing him up because, as you said, I think about him not only when I come to Staples Center, but I think about him every day. You know, he left me a box of some things that of his, and his wife gave them to me after his passing.
Wow.
And I carry one of them, and it's always with me. I keep it in my wallet as his press pass.
Wow.
And I never go anywhere without that in my wallet. That's been now.
That's
he passed
awesome,
away
man.
In 2002.
Wow.
And that's I tell people the best thing. They ask me, which championship is the one that I like the most, and I always say it was 2002 because that was the last one that Chick did, and he went out the way he should have, a winner.
That's right.
It was the last game that he did, the championship game, and he passed away in August of that summer.
Wow.
Wow.
I know. What else can you say other than wow? Thanks for reminiscing, and thanks for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure to have you here, and enjoy the off season. And what year is this for you?
30.
30.
Into
right.
30.
You got me by a year. You're always going to be ahead of me by 1 year.
No, we always do. What about always?
Hey, you know what? We don't. Just as long as we're back for the next year, that's all we worry about right now, right?
You're a young man. You're going to be around a long time. I'm going to be in that rocking chair very soon.
Yeah, you're going to be in a rocking chair with how many rings? How many rings you got?
Oh, six.
Yeah, okay.
Oh,
well, you know what?
Six out of the 11 they've won here in Los Angeles.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Not a bad percentage.
You're killing me. Get out of here. All right. Oh, my gosh. Doug, did you just hear that or what?
Yeah, he is the best, man.
All right, Stu, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it very much. All right, here's what we're going to do. We'll take a break, and we will come back with Doug Christie in San Francisco. I am courtside here at the Staples Center. Stu, great. Thanks very much again. And again, this is Sports 1140 KHDK.
It's 5:35. Time for Hot Tubs of Sacramento's 2017 Spring Blowout Sale. HotTubsOfSacramento.com.
All right, we are going to get you right up to the top of the hour. If you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. The Kings tonight taking on the L.A. Lakers. We'll get it for you with game night at 6, the pregame at 7, and all the action at 7:30. You know, in all honesty, I could talk about Chick Hearn for 4 hours on this show. I really could. That's how much respect I had for Chick. And, you know, over the years to get to know him, and I learned a lot from him. And I'll tell you what I learned from him. I learned from Chick Hearn that no matter what, you always have time for the fans. I'll never forget one of the first times he came to Arco Arena, and he got done. And Doug, I'm sure you were aware of this, but he would actually have a fan club wherever he would be.
Oh, yeah.
That when the games were over, they wanted to shake his hand. They wanted to get his autograph. You know what I mean? Like, yep. It didn't matter. I mean, and at Arco, you know, he had – and again, he'd be on TV wrapping up the show, and he'd get off, and all these fans would be there waiting for him. And you know what? He made sure that every single fan had a chance to, you know, touch him and shake their hand. You know what I mean by that? I mean, he made everyone feel special. And I'll never forget at a young age when I saw that. I'm like, wow, that tells me all I need to know. That's a legend, Chick Hearn doing that. I can't ever say a bad word about the man. He was so good to me, Doug. I really mean that. As a young broadcaster, he made me feel so welcome, something I'll never forget.
Oh, look, Grant, I mean, you mentioned it, but being in Los Angeles at Malibu at Pepperdine and just listening to him all those years and, you know, being a Magic fan and watching the Lakers and doing all that, and then being able to go there and being by Jerry West and all of a sudden to meet him and talk to him. And you're right, whether I was walking to the plane or in the locker room, whenever you saw him, always the same way, always, hey Doug, how you doing? Just very very just a great guy, man. That's why whenever I talk to Stu, I always try to just talk about it, because I know in his mind, can you imagine the stories he has, like that you have about Jerry?
Wow. No, I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah,
right. It is, absolutely.
It is.
And, you know, again, we talk about this market down here, and, you know, you talk about, you know, Ralph Lawler. He's been the only voice that the LA Clippers have ever had, even when they were in San Diego. You talk about Bob Miller. You talk about Vin Scully. And I don't even mention Dick Enberg, who's a household name in Southern California.
There you go.
He retired last year as the, you know, as an announcer for the Padres. But really, when you think of Dick Enberg, he's more synonymous with the LA sports scene.
Yeah.
He's just amazing.
Yeah, they've had some absolute doozies. And, you know, just being down there and listening to Dodger baseball and being around that whole thing, it was – you don't realize really, and this is what I say about yourself and Jerry, is people don't realize what you got until it's gone, Grant. So I don't say that, and fans don't say it to you guys just to, you know, blow you up. It's an honest thing, man. You're awesome at what you do, and there's a lot of fans that truly, truly appreciate it.
Doug, Buddy Hield is out, and he is the one member of the Sacramento Kings that is out, as he's working with Kings assistant coach Elston Turner. Several of the Lakers are down to my left. And, again, the Kings and the Lakers tonight coming up at 7:30. And then the Kings will fly home after the game, and they will take on the Houston Rockets on Sunday. And this is a busy, busy weekend. You got the Masters, round two in the books. You got four golfers at four under par. You've got a lot of baseball going on right now. And so it's going to be a fun weekend, Doug. Everything's going on at the same time. And some huge NBA games being played with both Denver and Portland fighting it out for the eighth spot. And there's some races going on in the East as well. So this is going to be a fun weekend here. This is going to be an action-packed, wall-to-wall weekend of sports.
It is. And when you start winding down the NBA season, Grant, and there are games that mean something and they're on the line, it's awesome, because it helps you going into the playoffs to get you mentally right. But at the same time, you know that this is the time that you've been playing for all year. Things get amped up and all of a sudden you hit the ground running. You pair that with baseball going on, the Masters going on, and for a sports fan, there's nothing like it.
Nope, absolutely not. You talk about baseball going on. The A's are in Arlington, bottom of the second. They are down 3-0 as they start a road trip as they go through Arlington to take on the Texas Rangers and then on to Kansas City. Top seven, the Giants have a 1-1 lead at San Diego, 5-4. Yanks are leading Baltimore 3-1 in the fifth. Bottom four, Miami 5, the Mets 1. Top of the fourth, Tampa at home leading Toronto 6-3. Minnesota and Chicago, the White Sox put a run on the board early. They lead bottom two. Cubbies get one in the first. They lead at Milwaukee as they go to the bottom of the second. Royals lead Houston 1-0, top two. Top three, they're scoreless in St. Louis with the Reds and the Cards. Earlier today, Pittsburgh beat Atlanta 5-4. Detroit in their opener edge Boston 6-5. Washington goes to Philly, and they win 7-6. Colorado at home in their opener at Coors. They beat the Dodgers by the score of 2-1. So that gets you caught up on your baseball scoreboard. And we're going to get you right up to 6 o'clock and game night before we turn it over. And then, of course, Kings pregame show at 7 and all the action for you at 7:30.
Well, Grant, keys tonight is attack, attack, attack. Opponents' points per game. L.A. is 28th in the league. Points in the paint, they're 29th in the league. And fast break points, they're 30th in the league. So on the defensive end, they are porous. The Kings need to get after it early and often. And if they do that, they put themselves in a position to win the game. And this is another game that really I think is definitely winnable, which, you know, is good and bad at the same time. We understand both sides of that thing. But the Kings, be aggressive. Come out and get after them offensively and defensively, more on the offensive side, because this isn't a good defensive team.
Yeah, you know, you're right when you say it's good and bad. And again, you know, the players that play, they don't care. You know, there's nobody playing in this game tonight that's wearing a Lakers uniform or a Kings uniform that gives a damn about the draft. They don't care. They don't. That makes no difference to them. So, you know, regardless of who the Lakers put out on the court, regardless who the Kings put out on the court, they're playing to play as well as they can. And that's just the bottom line. And if fans can't understand that, then that's too bad. And if they can't appreciate that, then that's too bad. And if they feel that they can't understand it or appreciate it, they probably shouldn't watch the game, because that's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, and it's going to be that way, Grant, until, like we said, they figure out a way around this. But even with that being said, you know, building a culture of winning, what do? Coach Yeager said it. You do that through winning. You put them in situations. You want them to experience these situations at the end of the year, whether it's inbounds plays, you know, closing a half, closing a quarter, all these different things that are going to ultimately equate to winning, kind of like you and Stu were talking about with developing young talent. You might not see it right now, Grant, but it'll come to fruition when you need it later.
I'll tell you know what Stu said to me that was very interesting? When I asked him about D'Angelo Russell, and he said he's kind of flatlined, right?
Yeah.
Here's a guy in his second year who the Lakers spent a high pick on, what was he, number two overall, okay? And he's using the term flatlining. That is a really bad term to use for a guy that's in his second year.
You know, I don't think they're extremely high on him, Grant. And I'm not I like this talent. I'm not totally sold on him as a player. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to be a point guard and run a team when you look at him. I did see he put up 40, but what type of 40 is it? Is it a ball dominant 40, or is it, you know, a Steph Curry 40 and then you get 12 assists and, you know, you're doing things for your team? So the flat line, you're right. From Stu Lance, that's not a good word to use.
No. All right, we'll come right back to wrap it up. Your phone calls welcome at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140 right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.
It's 5:50, time for Hot Tubs of Sacramento 2017 Spring Blowout Sale, hottubsofsacramento.com.
All right, we are taking you up to the top of the hour. And again, Doug Christie, yours truly, and Garrett Temple will be at the Wingstop Soundstage. That's going to be coming up next Thursday and 2:30, all right? Gets underway at 2:30. And guess what? If you call 339-1140 or 800-920-1140, you can get a pair of passes for a winner and your guest. So call now at 339-1140, 800-920-1140 next Thursday, as we'll have Garrett Temple on with us. All right. So, Doug, you gave us some of the keys for Sacramento. I would think it's just pretty much what we've been seeing. Let's see how Scal and Jorgis and Buddy do. You will have a couple of veterans playing tonight, obviously. It looks like Aaron Aflalo will go. Ben McLemore is going to play. Anthony Tolliver is going to play. And this is a Lakers team that's won two games in a row here against Memphis at San Antonio. And when you look at the, you know, Lakers schedule, they've got Minnesota here on the 9th. They have New Orleans here on the 11th. And then they're at Golden State on the 12th. That's their remaining schedule.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, right now, the Lakers, Kings, teams that are out of the playoffs, they're poising for the draft and what have you, Grant. They're looking at talent at the same time. They're guys that they want to evaluate. That, you know, you talk about flatlining with D'Angelo Russell. You know, what, because the Lakers may have a high enough pick, Grant, that they want to draft a point guard. You got to determine what you got, and you put players out there and you let them get after it. You made a point that sometimes maybe now playing with the younger players is going to get you more than the older players. So we could see a heck of a ball game tonight.
Yeah, we could. And again, you're talking about Brandon Ingram. I'm looking forward to seeing him play. You know, Stu Lance had some great things to say about how well he's played. You know, you got Julius Randle in his third year. And, you know, again, we'll just wait and see who Coach Walton puts out there. But the Lakers right now at 23-55. And as we said, they have won two consecutive games. You've got the Masters at the halfway point with four players at four under par, including Ricky Fowler. And so that's interesting to see Ricky get up there. Phil's at even par. You've got Fred Couples, who's having a very good tournament. So, you know, you got Sergio Garcia, who's up there, four under par. I'm looking forward to watching the Masters tomorrow. And I will, I'll make sure, Doug, I get up early. You know, get my workout in, then go home and sit and watch golf all day. How's that sound?
Well, you know, the best part of that, Grant, is that you're getting up early and getting your workout in. Good job, my man.
You're impressed? All right. What, I'll make sure that if I don't do that, I'll let you know, because I don't want you to think that I'm, you know, I got to be honest about this, all right?
Yeah,
so I'm
going
to get up there, I'm going to go get the workout in, and then I'll come home and watch the Masters, all right?
Hey, at least go for a walk, man. Give me something.
You got to get something, right?
That's right.
A walk doesn't really classify for me, right? I mean, I got to do a little more than a walk. I know walking's great. I don't mean to, you know, I love going for walks, but I got to do a little more than a walk, don't you think, buddy?
Well, I expect more out of you, but I'm just saying, if you're not going to do anything, at least give me a walk.
Okay. How long of a walk?
Let's say 45 minutes at least. 15 of it, walk backwards. Work on it, Grant. Come on.
Walk backwards?
Backpedal. Figure it out.
I can't see the rattlesnakes if I walk backwards.
Oh, gosh.
I'm not walking backwards
in my
neighborhood.
You're walking in the wrong neighborhood,
man. Well, that's exactly right. But I'm not walking backwards in my neighborhood. Let me tell you something that right now. Not at this time of the year. I'm not walking backwards.
Hey, Napier, get a dog.
I got a dog.
Well, take him with you. They'll let you know if they're coming up on a rattlesnake.
Too little of a dog. That's not gonna do me any good. I got a 9-pound
dog. By a rattlesnake.
You think my 9-pound dog is gonna help me against a rattlesnake? What's wrong with you?
He's gonna let you know that. Hey, Papa, watch out. You don't want to step there.
Oh my gosh. Oh wow. So again, we have got baseball. We've got everything going on, and of course, Doug and I will look forward to reconvening on Monday as the Kings have their final off day of the season before they take on Phoenix Tuesday, and right back here Wednesday to take on the LA Clippers. You've got the NFL draft. We're going to really start honing in as we get a little bit closer now that the NFL draft, believe it or not, is coming up on April 27th. So we'll definitely spend some time going over what we think based on the people that we have on as our guests, as experts, what they think the 49ers and the Raiders will do. And it'll be interesting to see if any more news comes out. You know, we had Chris Landry talking about Marshawn Lynch, and, you know, he said, you know, don't be surprised if something happens, you know, at the NFL draft. If that, you know, there's that, those are when these type of moves are made. So, you know, do you get, like, if you're Seattle and you have a player on the board you like and you get him, does that all of a sudden say, yeah, you know what, we'll work out a trade with the Raiders for a Lynch? You know, these are all the things we'll keep our eye on. So, Doug, I'll talk to you in about an hour on TV. Have a great weekend, and I look forward to chatting with you right here on Monday.
You got it. Go Kings.
All right. So, have a great weekend, everybody. Don't forget, though, game night is coming up next, and then the Kings pregame at 7 o'clock and tip-off at 7:30. Always great to have my engineer on site, Tony Noto, and Chris Verlard back at the studio. Good job right there. And Jay Johnson, our producer, doing a great job all week. So until Monday, Grant Napier saying so long, everybody.